Today's shiur will be in the sixth zvach in Daf Yutes. We will start six lines from the top of the Amid by the two dots. And the Gemara says, "Nan hosom." We learn in the Mishnah elsewhere. We learn in native koyin shalokabed boy. A koyin got a wound on his finger. Koyrech aleho gemi b'migdosh. So in the Beis Hamikdosh, he's allowed to put a reed around it. Avaloi b'mdinim, not in the country. And this refers to Shabbos. If the din is on Shabbos, you are not allowed to do anything that could kill you. It's a Yisad Rabbanon, because it's a Gzeira, you might come to Shchika Samamonim. If they're going to allow you to use medicine on Shabbos, then you might come to grind the medicine, to make your own medicine, which will have to be done through grinding, which is a Malacha. So because of that Gzeira, the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to use any medicine. So therefore, if you want to put on a reed around your finger to cure your finger from the wound, so you're not allowed to do that. But if it happens to a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdosh, he is allowed to do that. Because ein shvus b'migdosh. Because in the Beis HaMikdosh of Dinis, there are no shvus. All the Yisurim that the Rabbanon made concerning Shabbos in the Mikdosh don't apply. So therefore, the Kohen is allowed to put it around his finger in the Beis HaMikdosh, but not any other place. But if the reason is not just to cure it, but it should pull the blood out, kan v'kanosa. It is forbidden in the Medina and also in the Beis HaMikdash, because then this is not an Issa de Rabban and a Shavuz, but this is an Issa de Raisa to be Maitidam. And therefore, you can't do it in the Mikdash either. And the truth is that Tosfos explains that the reason in the Medina you're not even allowed to put a reed on, which is not to be Maitidam, not as we said before according to Rashi, because it's a Gzeira, you might come to grind the Samamonim, but it is a Gzeira, you might put it on Lahoitidam. Since to take out blood, you're not allowed in the Raisa. So then you're not allowed, even if you don't intend to take out blood. As a Gzeira, you might come to take out blood. And since this is only Issa de Rabbanan, it would only be in Medina, not in the Mikdash. But then Tosfos says that in Yerushalmi is Mashme, like Rashi says, that the reason is because of a Gzeira, you might come to be Shoychek Samamonim to grind the medicine which would be in Issa de Raisa. Then the Gemara continues, Omer Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Chiya. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Chiya, said, Lei Shonu El Gemi. His din was only said concerning the reed. You're only allowed to put on a reed. Avatil full cotton, but a small belt, to use that as a bandage, have a Yitub Godin. That would be forbidden because that would be extra garment. And as we learned before, the Kohen is not allowed to do the Avoide missing Godin. He's also not allowed to do the Avoide be Yitub Godin with extra garment. So if he would put on a little belt around his finger as a bandage, it would be utter because it would be Yitub Godin. Rabbi Yochanan says, Loi Omru Yitr B'Godim Ela B'Mokim B'Godim. That this din, that Yitr B'Godim is forbidden, was only said if it is in the place of B'Godim. That in the place where you wear the other B'Godim, you will add another baggage, then it's also Ava Shaloi B'Mokim B'Godim. But if you don't put on another baggage in the place where the B'Godim belong, Loi Ava Yitr B'Godim. It is not considered Yitr B'Godim. And therefore, if on your finger, where you don't wear any B'Godim, you will put on this little belt as a bandage, then it would not turn him into Yitr B'Godim and it would be mutter. But then the Gemara asks, but there should be another reason why it should be forbidden. Since you have to do the avoide with your hand, and the din is you're not allowed to have any interruption between your hand and the thing you do the avoide with. So if you're going to put on this bandage, it'll be a chitze between your hand and the avoide. And the Gemara answers the smile. If the problem was on his left hand, and the left hand is possible for the avoide. So that's where we hear Rabbi Yochanan says that you're allowed to put the bandage on. Inama or b'yamin, itaki could be on the right hand, but shaloi b'makam avoida, which part of the hand, that part that you don't do the avoida with. So there you are allowed to put it on according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara continues, u'pligir the Rav, that Rabbi Yochanan argues against Rav. The Omer Rav Amar Rav Chizde, because Rav is sending me Rav Chizde, the mokam b'godim in the place where you wear the garments, afilo nima achet chetet. Even one thread would make a chetet. Shaloi b'makam b'godim, if it is not in the place of the b'godim, then it depends. If it is a piece which has 3x3 etzboyes, the size of 3x3 finger, then it is a chtit. If it's less than 3x3, it is not chtit. Rav definitely argues against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said that if it is shaloi b'mokim b'godim, it is no chtit. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't make a difference whether it is 3x3 or not. He says that anything that you wear, not in the place of the B'godim, it is not a chtitze. Is mashma that even if it's bigger than 3x3, still, if it's not in the place of the B'godim, there is no chtitze. While Rav said that if it's not in the place of the B'godim, if it's 3x3, it is a chtitze. So there is definitely a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rava. But the question is, Ader Rabbi Yehuda b'Eder Rabbi Chiya milay me de pligi. But on Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiya, does he argue too? We said before that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiya, said that a tzilzul cotton is yitur begodim. That if you wear a small bandage around your finger even, it is considered yitur begodim. Does he argue against Rava? Because Rava said that when is it considered osur chaytzit only if it's 3x3? But if it's less than 3x3, it doesn't. Now when Rabbi Yehuda, Breide Rabbi Chiya, said that even if you wear a small bandage, it is chaytzit, and it is also, does that mean that he argues against Rava? Or maybe the Gemara answer is no, he doesn't argue against Rava, because Shani Tzilzul Cotton, this little belt that he's going to wear on his finger, is different. The choshev, that is choshev, that is an important garment. So even though this is smaller than 3x3, but since it's a tzilzul cotton, it would be an extra beged, even though it is very small. So normally, if you wear other things, he would admit to Rava that it's only if it's 3x3, if it's shaloi b'makim b'godim. But if it's a tzilzul cotton, then even though it's smaller than 3x3, it also is yitur b'godim. This is one lashon of the Gemara. This is one way the Gemara had a discussion. Some say that the discussion was made in a different lashon, a different way. That first, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiya, said, this din that we said to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, if he has a wound on his finger, is allowed to put a gemi around it, a reed around it, is only if he puts a gemi. But if he puts a tzilzul cotton, he puts a small belt around his finger, then it is chaytis, it's a chtitz, and you're not allowed. Rabbi Yochanan said, lo yom ruchtitze bepochas mishalosh ha-sholosh, that the Chachamim did not say that it is a chtitze if it is less than 3x3, elo b'mokim b'godim, only if it is put in the place of the b'godim. Avo shaloi b'mokim b'godim, but if it's not in the place of the b'godim, which is the finger, sholosh ha-sholosh chaytzetes. And if it's 3x3, it would be a chtitze. But pochas mekan, ein a chaytzetes, but less than 3x3, it wouldn't be a chtitze. And therefore he's saying to him, that when he puts the tzilzul cotton around the finger, since this is not the mokim b'godim, and it is only a tzilzul cotton and it is not 3x3, it would not be chaytzit. And this fits exactly to what Rava said in the name of Rav Chisda, because Rava in the name of Rav Chisda said the same thing. And if it's shaloi b'mokim b'godim, only if it's 3x3 is chaytzit, but less than that is not chaytzit. And on that the Gemara asked, Leimer Pligi Adi Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya, would we say that Rava argues against Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya? See, Rabbi Yochanan definitely argues Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya, because actually this is what they were talking about. Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya said that a tzilzul cotton is chaytzit, and Rabbi Yochanan came to argue against Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya, and he said that a tzilzul cotton is not chaytzit, and the reason he gave was because only if it's 3x3 it's chaytzit shaloi b'makim b'godim, but if it's less than 3x3 it's not chaytzit. So Rabbi Yochanan definitely argues against Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya. The question is, does Rava also argue against Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya? Because Rava was not speaking in the case of a tzilzul cotton. Rava just had a general din, and if it's less than 3x3, it's not chaytzit. Does that mean that he argues, like Rabbi Yochanan does, against Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Chiya and holds that tzilzul cotton would not be chaytzit? The Gemara says, no, shani tzilzul cotton b'choshev. Tzilzul cotton is different because it's choshev. So it's possible that they don't argue. And when did Rava say his din? That if it's less than 3x3, it is not chaytzit, that by other things. But a tzilzul cotton, which is a choshev, an important garment, an important bandage, that is chaytzit, even though it's less than 3x3, because that is different. So there is no machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda, Breide Rav Chiya, and Rava. But there is a machloikis definitely between Rabbi Yehuda, Breide Rav Chiya, and Rav Yochanan, because Rabbi Yehuda, Breide Rav Chiya, said a tzilzul cotton is chaytzit, and Rabbi Yochanan said that even a tzilzul cotton is not chaytzit. But then the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that even a tzilzul cotton is not chaytzit, ma yariyeh gemi lashmin a tzilzul cotton. In that means the native, where it says that the Kohen who has this wound on his finger is allowed to put a gemi on it in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Why doesn't it say a bigger chidush that he's even allowed to put on a tzilzul cotton, since according to Rabbi Yochanan he's allowed to put on a tzilzul cotton? So why doesn't the Mishnah say that even a tzilzul cotton you're allowed? That would be a bigger chidush, because even though a tzilzul cotton is more choshev, so we might think that you're not allowed because of the chtitza. Nevertheless, you're allowed, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention that? And the Gemara answers that agav urchei kamashmalon, that the Mishnah wants to tell us, by the way, the gemi masi, that a gemi cures. And that's the chizush, that even though a gemi cures, nevertheless, in the Mikdash, you are allowed to do it. Even though normally there is a shvuz derabbanan and yisur derabbanan not to put on any medicine on a wound on Shabbos because of gzeira, as we said before, of shchikas hamamonim, that you might grind the medicine yourself. Nevertheless, in the Mikdash, we are allowed to do it because Ein Shvi'is HaMikdash. So this is a bigger chiddush to tell us that even though a gemi cures, nevertheless you are allowed. Then the Gemara continues, Boi Rove, Rove asked the question, Nichnesa Leiruach Bebigdoi Mahu. What is the din if air went in under the bag, under the garment, between the garment and his skin? What is the din? Is it kosher or not? Al besore binin valekin. On one hand, we should say that the pasuk says you have to have the garments on your skin, and it's not there because there is something in between the garment and the skin, the air, and the garment is not directly on the skin. Or maybe derech levisha bekach. This is a normal way of wearing clothes. But it's not considered that there is an interruption. In other words, this is considered al besore, it's on the skin, even though it's not actually touching the skin. Another question he asked, kino ma'u shetochid, lice, what would be the din? If there is a lice in between the garment and his skin, is it a chtitza or not? And he explained, meiso, loyti boyaloch, if it's a dead one, I don't even have a question, the vada chaita, definitely is a chtitza. Chayimai, if it's alive, and what is the din? Mi amin, and do we say? Even the os of Oslo revising. Since it goes back and forth, this is natural, v'loi chaitit, is not chaitit. Like Dilmor, maybe, even the kopit alo, since he cares about it, he doesn't want it to be there, chaitit is chaitit. Another question. Ofor ma'u sheyochut sand, what is the din? If you have sand between the garment and your skin, is it a chaitit? But the Gemara asks, what kind of question is that? Ofor vada chait, sand, definitely it's a chaitit. Why should we think it's not a chaitit? Ella, what was his question? Ovok ofor ma'u. Dust of the sand is the chitzah not. That is very thin, very small. Maybe that is not a chitzah. And he continues, Beis HaShechem Ma'u Sheyochud. The underarm, what is the din, is a chitzah. In other words, if you have the air there, and you don't have the garment tight under your underarm, that it touches every part of your body. In other words, the garment is not fitted directly, that it touches all over on the skin. But there is a space there. Is that a chitzah or not? Al besore binin v'leket. Do we say that the Torah says that you have to have your garment on your skin, and it's not on the skin because there is an empty space there of air? Or Dilmar, maybe derech levisha bekach, this is a normal way of wearing clothes. That it doesn't go tightly under your underarm. And therefore, this is a normal way of putting on clothes. It is okay. Another question. Hichnis yoda l'toycheikoy mahu. If he put his hand inside on his body, inside under the garment, he put his hand in. But he has his hand between the garment and his body and his chest, for instance. What is the din? Do we say gufoy michayet? His own body is a chitzit, because his hand is his own body, so there is no chitzit. Oiloi, or maybe not, that after all there is something there between the garment and his body. Nimimau shetochet, a thread. What is the din? Is it a chitzit? So the Gemara asks, what is your question? Nimimau badachayet. If you have a thread, definitely it's a chitzit. Elo nimimau midul delas mau. Question was different. His question was, if you have a hanging thread, not a thread from the outside, a thread from this garment itself, it's still connected to the garment, but it's hanging, is it a chitzah or not? Boy, Marbaravashe asked the question, Yotzo Sairei Bebigdei Mahu, if his hair went under his clothes, what is the din? Which means he had long hair, and the hair went down under his garment, is it a chitzah or not? And this question is in continuation to the previous question. Before we ask the question, if he put his hand under the garment, is it a chitzah or not? So this question comes in continuation and saying that even if you're going to answer me, that in that case there, since he put his own body under the garment, it is not a chitzah. The question is, what would be the din concerning hair? Do we say, Sairei Kegufei Dami, his hair is like his own body. And therefore, just like his own hand, if he puts it under the garment, it is not a chitzah. So his hair is also not a chitzah, or it's not considered like his body, and therefore, it would be a chitzah. Boy, Rav Zeira also asked the question, Tfilin mai sheyechutzu, what is the din? Would tfilin be a chtitze? And Rashi learns the Gemara's question is not really concerning chtitze, but concerning yitur begodim. That if the kohen wears tfilin, would that be considered an extra baggage? And the reason for the question is, since it is a mitzvah to wear tfilin, maybe that is not considered an extra baggage. Or on the other hand, after all, it is an extra baggage, so it is a din of yitur begodim. And he explains his question. Ali b'demandoma laila lausman tfilin, who according to the one that holds it, the night is not the time of tfilin, because there's a machloikis in Erev and Dafsadik Vov, and in Menochas Daflamet Vov, whether laila's man tfilin or not, whether at night is a time to put on tfilin or not, which means midaraisa, whether midaraisa you should wear tfilin at night, or at night is not the time of tfilin. So he says, according to the one that holds that the night is not the time of tfilin, loiti boiloch, I lechatchila have no question. Definitely it is not allowed. Because kiven the laila chayse yom namachayse. Since at night it's a chitzah, which means at night it's yitur begodim. During the day it's also yitur begodim. because the only reason we thought maybe it's not Yitzhar Begadim is because of the mitzvah. Now, since at night there is no mitzvah, so at night it is definitely an extra beged. Now, since at night it's an extra beged, during the day it's also an extra beged. Because we don't find that an avodah of the night should be stricter than an avodah of the day. There are avodah of the night also, when you have to finish off certain emirim that you didn't bring on the mizbeach yet, and there you also must wear the begadim. So we know that always the avodah of the day is stricter than avodah of the night. Now, if we're going to say that wearing tefillin at night is an extra beged, but wearing tefillin during the day because it's a mitzvah is not an extra beged, it will come out that the avodah of the night is stricter than avodah of the day. And that we know for sure is not. And therefore, we will say definitely that if at night it is called an extra beged, during the day it is also called an extra beged. So therefore, according to the one that holds that at night is not a time of tefillin, there is no question. Kiti boy, look, where do I ask the question? According to the one that holds the night is the time of tefillin. My, what is the din? Do we say mitzvah de gufei chayit? That a mitzvah that he has to do is chayitzit, or loy chayit, or is not chayit. Now the Gemara continues, the galgul milse, the thing continued, the motto became the Ravamet. And it came to Ravamet, this question came to Ravamet. Omar Lehi said to him, Talmud Aruch Hu B'Yadeinu, we have a known set din by us. That film chayitzit, says that film is chayitzit. That means, according to Rashi, that film is Yitzhar B'Godi, and therefore the Kohen cannot wear film. But the Gemara asks, Meis V'Yavad Efti Akashe, we learned, Ko Yanim B'Avidoson, the Kohenim while they do their Avodah. O Levi'im B'Duchonon, and the Levi'im while they do their Duchon, when they sing their songs during the time of the Avodah. The Yisrael B'Mamodon, and the Yidin, the Yisrael, when they stand by Maimit. This was a din by the every Mishmor, they had to have a Maimit, a group of Yidin in Yerushalayim that would come into the Azorah in the time of the Korban Tomit. Because the din is that the owner of a Korban must be there by the Korban. And since the Korban Tomid is a Korban Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, so really, all the Yidin are the Bailim of this Korban. So they all would have to sit on this Korban, but that's impossible. So they would choose representatives, and they would represent Klal Yisrael. They were Shluchim of Klal Yisrael, and they would sit on the Korban. As the Pasuk says, Tishmeru lahakriv li b'me'adai, that means that you should watch it at a time when you bring the Korban. So these Yidin would stand there as Bailim of the Korban, and they were called Yisrael b'mamadam. So what Raisa says, that the Koyanim when they do their Avodah, or the Levim when they do their Duchon, and the Yisrael when they're involved in their Maimed, Turim in Atfilo, in Atfilum, are potter from Tfilah and from Tfilum. And the reason is because the din is, Hoisig b'mitzvah, potter from a mitzvah, that when you're involved in one mitzvah, you are potter from any other mitzvah. And therefore, since they are involved in this mitzvah, so they are potter from the other mitzvah, so they are potter from Tfilah, from Davening, and potter from Tfilum. Now from the Loshon where it says they are potter from Tfilah or from Tfilum, is Mashmeh, that if they want, they're able to, because they don't have to. And one of those mentioned here are the Koyanim, is Mashme, that even the Koyanim, if they want to wear tefillin, they're allowed to. My love, don't you think, im henichon, ein achoytetzoz, and if they put on tefillin, it's not a chtitze, which means it's not Yitzhar Begadim, because if it would be Yitzhar Begadim, then the din should be that the Koyanim should not be allowed to put on tefillin. But from the Loshon is Mashme, that they just put it from tefillin, but if they want, they're allowed. So obviously that that film is not a chaytzed, which means not Yitzhar Begadim. So how could he have said that we have a halacha b'yodeinu that film is chaytzed? So the Gemara answers, lo, I know. Even if you chaytzed, the truth is, even if you put on film, it is chaytzed. So therefore, the Kohenim are not allowed to put on film. But Ihoch, the Gemara says, if so, peturim, why does it say they are potter from tefillin and from tefillin? Asurim iboyele. It should have said they are also, it is forbidden for them to put on film. And the Gemara answers, Kivin, the Ike Levim, Yisrael. The Loi Masnulei, also, since in this Brice is also mentioned Levim. Levim b'duchonam, and Yisrael b'mamadam. And concerning them, it couldn't say Oser, because they are allowed to put on film. By them, there is no chitze. Mishim ha'chatonet pturim, that's why it uses the Loshim pturim concerning everybody. But really, concerning the Koyanim, they're not even allowed to put on the film. But then the Gemara asks, what Tanya didn't we learn in the Brice, b'feirish, imen nichon, ein achaytetzois, that if you put on film, there is no chitze. So how can you say that the Koyanim put on film is a chitze, when we learn it's not a chitze? The Gemara answers, loy kasha, there is no kasha. Hod the yad, hod the rosh. Depends whether it's the tefillin shal yad or tefillin shal rosh. The tefillin he shal yad, that's on the hand, and it's put in between the beged and the skin, that is a chtite. But the tefillin shal rosh is not a chtite, as the Gemara will explain right away. And the Gemara says, ma'ish no the yad. What is the difference? Why by the yad you say it is a chtite, the chtite, because the pasuk says, yil bash al psoray. Shalom yehei dover choytes beinu lepsoray, that you should put the garment on the flesh, on the skin. There should be nothing in between the garment and the basar. The roish name by the tefillin, the roish doesn't also say concerning the head, the samta mitznefes al roisha, you should put the mitznefes, the hat, on the head. So if you put the tefillin on, so the tefillin should be a chitzitze between the hat and the head. And here too, the Torah says a fetish that the hat should be on the head. And the Gemara answers, suddenly we learn, sairoi hoyanire ben tzitz mitznefes, that the hair was seen between the tzitz and the hat. There was a space of hair, sheshomen yachtzilom, there he would put on film. In other words, there was enough place to put the hat directly on the head, and then to have the tzitz under it on the forehead, and in between there was a space where he was able to put on film. So therefore, concerning the Shulei Rosh, they are not chayt. This is the way Rasha learns his Gemara. But Tosfos asks the kasha, and how can Rasha say that the Gemara Shaila concerning the tefillin was not concerning chatzitze, but was concerning Yitzer Begodim? How will Rasha explain the Gemara later when it says that there is a difference between the Shalyad and the Shulei Rosh? That the Shalyad is chaytzitz and the Shulei Rosh is not chaytzitz. Now according to Rasha, it will mean that the Shalyad is Yitzer Begodim, and the Shulei Rosh is no Yitzer Begodim. And the question is, what is the difference? If we're going to learn that the question is concerning a real chitze, we understand what the difference is between the shayad and the shorosh. Because the shayad is under the beged, so it's a chitze between the beged and the skin, but the shorosh is not under the beged, and therefore there is no chitze. But according to Rashi, the whole discussion here is concerning Yitzer Begodim, whether the tefillin is considered extra garment. What is the difference between the shayad and the shorosh? Why does the Gemara say that the shayad is considered chitze, which means, according to Rashi, is an extra beged, while the shorosh is not an extra beged? But then Tosfos says, according to what the Gemara said before, that there is an opinion that the din of Yitzer Begodim is only b'mokim begodim, only in the place of the beged. That's where it's Yitzer beged. It's not in the place where it's not b'mokim beged. So that's understood. The shayad, that's on the hand, which is b'mokim beged, is a Yitzer beged. But the shorosh, which is not b'mokim beged, because the shorosh was put in between the mitznefes and the tzitz where no beged was worn, that is not a Yitzer beged. So then we understand what the Gemara means later on, that the Shalyad is Chaitzit and the Shalrosh is not Chaitzit, which according to Rashi means the Shalyad is Yitzer Beged and the Shalrosh is not, is because the Shalyad is the Mokim Beged and the Shalrosh is not the Mokim Beged. But nevertheless, Tosfos says, the simpler pshat would be that Etake is speaking about Chaitzit. And that is why there is a difference between the Shalyad and the Shalrosh. The Shalyad, which is under the Beged, between the Beged and the skin, that's why it's Chaitzit. But the Shalrosh, since it's not under the Beged, but it was on the forehead, between the mitznefes and the tzitz, that's why it's not chaytzit. But nevertheless, Tosfos says that when the Braita says that tefillin is not chaytzit, and we explain that it refers to the tefillin shorosh, and the reason it's not chaytzit is because saira yinira bein mitznefes l'tzitz, there was a place of hair in between the mitznefes and the tzitz where you put on tefillin. So l'chura, what is the chiddush? If the tefillin shorosh was not put under the mitznefes, between the mitznefes and the head, so why should it be chaytzit? So what's the chiddush of the Braita that it's not chaytzit? So we must say in that braisa, no matter what, that the chiddush is that it is not Yitzer Begodim. Because concerning chitze, there is no chiddush because it wasn't in the place of chitze. Unless Tosfos say, we're going to say that this itself is the chiddush. That saira yinira. This itself, that the tefillin was put in between the mitznefes and the tzitz, this itself is the chiddush of the braisa. Or Tosfos says, maybe what the braisa is trying to tell us is that it's not a chitze concerning the psilei hatzitz. That the tzitz was tied to the head with certain threads. So concerning that, we would think that the tefillin is a chitze, and that is the chiddush of the braisa, that even concerning these threads, it is not considered a chitze. Then the Gemara continues, we learn in the Mishnah, that one of those who did the avoide, makes the avoide apostle, is mechusa kippurim, which means one of those people who are tomei, that it's not enough for them to go to the mikveh, and then wait for Harif Shemesh, for the sun to set, but then the next day they still must bring a korban, which is a zov and a metzora. So if he went to the mikveh already, and there was Harif Shemesh, but he still didn't bring the korban, if he does the avoda, the avoda is possible. And the Gemara asks, Minolon, how do we know that? And the Gemara answers, Omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Omakra, the Pasuk says, Chiper Aleo HaKoyen V'Tohero. There's a Pasuk in Parshas Azriya, Kipitul Yudbeis Pasuk Ches. And that speaks concerning a Yildiz. And she's also one of those that have to bring a kapora. She's a mechusa kippurim if she doesn't bring a kapora. So the Pasuk says that at the end, she brings her kapora, her korban, v'tohero, and now she is tohed, she is clean. So since the Pasuk says tohero, mechlal sheit meya, that shows that till she brought the kapora, she was tummy. So we see from there that the mechusa kippurim is still considered tummy. Then the Gemara continues, it said in the Mishnah, v'shaloi richut yadayim raglayim, if he did not wash his hands and feet, and if he does the avoda is possible. The Gemara says, how do we know that? After we learn it out, chukah, chukah mechusa begodim. We learn out exeter shavah from the word chukah, the mechusa begodim. By mechusa begodim, the one that does the avoda without the proper begodim, the pasuk says, As we learned earlier in the Gemara, that this is from where we learn now the din, and Mechusa Begodim makes the Avoid Apostle. So there it says the Pasuk, L'chuk Asoylam. And also, concerning washing the hands and the feet, the Pasuk says, V'hoysa lohem chok oylam. So we make Exeter Shav, and we say that just like Mechusa Begodim, if he does the Avoid is Apostle, so too, if he didn't wash his hands and feet and does the Avoid is Apostle. And the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Rabbanan learned, Koyin Gadol Shaloi Toval, a Koyin Gadol that didn't go to the mikveh, a Shaloi Kiddush, and didn't wash his hands and feet, Bein Beged Le Beged, Bein Avoide La Avoide, between changing the Beged, and between changing Avoides, this refers to Yom Kippur. But no Yom Kippur, the Koyin Gadol did some Avoides with Big Day Lovam, with white garments, and some Avoides, the Big Day Zov, with the golden garments, with his eight begodim. Whenever he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the Avoideh, he would have to wear the Big Day Lavan, and the Avoideh he did outside, he did the Big Day Zov, and he would have to change. So there were five times that he changed from Big Day Zov to Big Day Lavan, and from Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zov. And every time he changed, he had to go to the Mikveh again, and had to be Mekadosh his hands and feet twice. So the Braise says that if the Kohen Gadol did not go to the Mikveh, did not wash his hands and feet between Beged and Beged, and between Avoideh and Avoideh, the Ovat, and he did the Avoideh that way, his avoid is still kosher. The echad koyin gadol ve'echad koyin hedyet. And now the Braita says, as whether it's a koyin gadol or a koyin hedyet, shaloi kiddush yod v'raglav shachris, he wasn't mekadesh his hands and feet, didn't wash his hands and feet in the morning once, v'ovad and yid avoid it, avoidos epsulot avoid is possible. In other words, if he didn't do the kiddush yodayim v'raglayim between the avoid is when he was supposed to do it, it's kosher. But if he didn't do it once in the morning, then the avoid is possible. And that applies to a Kohen Hadid also. That once in the morning, you must wash your hands and feet before you do the avoid. And if not, it's possible. Oh, Malay Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yochanan, this din, that the Kohen Gadol must go five times to the Mikveh Yom Kippur and wash his hands 10 times. This is the Raisa. This is learned out from Psukim in the Torah. Because the Pasuk says, there verochat tzore b'mayim uloveisham. That he should wash his flesh in water, which means go to the mikveh, and he should put on the clothes. And in the Gemara, Yumen, Daf Lamed Beis, we learn out from Sukkim how many times he has to wash his hands and how many times he has to go to the mikveh. So this is the Raisa. Bechukok Sibo. And concerning this, Avoid the Anyam Kippur, the Posik says the word chukok. So towards the end of the Parsha of the Avoid of Yom Kippur, which is in Parsha Achamai. So towards the end of the Parsha, in Kapitel Tazayim, Pasuk Chof Tes, it says, V'hoi so lochem l'chuk asoylam b'choydesh ha-shvi, v'osa l'choydesh tanes nafshaseichem, that this should be to you a chuk asoylam. So the Pasuk uses the word chukah. And whenever it says the word chukah, it means it's ma'akim. That's how it's supposed to be and no other way. So why isn't the din that these things would change? If he didn't go to the mikveh the 5 times he was supposed to go on Yom Kippur, or he didn't wash his hands the 10 times he was supposed to wash his hands on Yom Kippur, the avoid should be possible. Why do you say the avoid is kosher? And the Gemara answers, Amalei said to him, Omakar, the Pasuk says, Uloveisham. In that same parasha, in Achamai, right in the beginning, Kepitel to Zion, Pasuk Dalet, it says, Ksoynes bad koidish yilvosh. He should get dressed with the Ksoynes bad koidish. Umichnesi bad yu apsore, uvavni bad yavgor, umitznesis bad yitznoi, big day koidish heim, verochas vamayin et soroi, Uloveisham. Now the word Uloveisham at the end is extra, because it starts off with the word Ksoynes bad koidish yilvosh, and they should get dressed with it. And that refers to all the other begodim. So why does the Pasuk again have to say at the end, Uloveisham, that he should dress with himself with them? So obviously the Pasuk wants to stress, Uloveisham, that this is Ma'akev, that he must put on these clothes. And if he doesn't, then it's Ma'akev that avoid this Pasuk. So by the Torah stressing, and this Pasuk, that this is Ma'akev, that if you don't do this, that avoid this Pasuk, this itself tells us that concerning other things, that avoid is not possible. Because if the deen would be, that since the Pasuk uses the word chukah at the end, so everything it says in this Pasha is Ma'akev b'di'evet, if you don't do it, it's possible, then why would the Torah have to tell us in this Pasuk Uloveisham that this is Ma'akev? It would have been Ma'akev anyway without the Pasuk Uloveisham because of the Pasuk Chukah. For we know that even though the Torah uses the word Chukah, it only applies to the din of the Begodim, but not to the going to the mikveh washing the hands he is supposed to on that day. And that's why we say that if he didn't wash his hands the 10 times, or didn't go to the mikveh the 5 times, it is still kosher. Because we say levisha ma'akevet, concerning the dressing of the clothes is ma'akev, the ein dovar acher ma'akev, but no other thing is ma'akev, and therefore the other things, going to the mikveh and washing the hands, is not ma'akev and is not possible if he didn't do it. So avapon, so the face of Rav Asa lit up when he heard this answer from Rav Yochanan. Omar lei, so Rav Yochanan said to him, vav aufte kasala. All I did was I wrote a vav on a tree trunk, which means a tree trunk which has a lot of cracks If you write a vav on it, which is just a straight line, you can't tell. Which means there's nothing worse. And that's what he's saying to him. The answer I gave you is nothing worse. You smiled and you were so pleased with this answer. The answer is nothing worse. Why? Because if my answer is right, this pasuk elevation teaches us that nothing else is ma'akiv except the levisha, the tzafra nama. So the morning one also shouldn't be ma'akiv. Why do we say that if he didn't wash his hands or feet once in the morning, it is ma'akiv, but that also shouldn't be ma'akiv? And since the din is that is ma'akiv, obviously my answer is no good answer. Chizki said, there's another way we learn out that the washing of the hands and the feet on Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol is not ma'akiv. Because Omakro, the Pasuk says, when the Torah tells us the din that you have to wash your hands and feet before you do the Avodah, it says, V'hoi solohem chok oilom, it should be to them a chok forever, loy to him, meaning to Adam, to the Kohen Gadol, ulozara, into his children, l'doroisa, for all generations. So here we learn out, dover ma'akiv, l'zaroi, the thing which is ma'akiv by his children, ma'akiv boy, is ma'akiv by him too. Which means that washing of the hands and the feet that is important by the Kohen Hedyet, by the children of the Kohen Gadol, which is the washing of the hands in the morning, that if he didn't do it, it is ma'akiv, that is ma'akiv by him too. So a Kohen Gadol, if he didn't wash his hands and feet in the morning, it is ma'akiv. Dovah she'ene ma'akiv bazare, but something which is not ma'akiv by his children, a ma'akiv boy is not ma'akiv by him. And therefore, all the other washing of the hand and the feet that is supposed to be done during the day on Yom Kippur, since that is not ma'akeh by the Kohen Hedyet, so it is also not ma'akeh by the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yonis no memoach, Rabbi Yonis says, we learn it out from here. The Pasuk says, Verochasu memenu Moshe v'anu bonov, that Moshe and An and his children should wash from it, from the Kiyoiv. So we say, Dover ma'akeh bevonov, ma'akeh boy. Anything which is ma'akeh by his children is ma'akeh by him. And since washing the hands and the feet in the morning is ma'akiv by the Kohen Hedyet, so it's ma'akiv by the Kohen Gadol also. Dover she'ene ma'akiv v'bonov, anything which is not ma'akiv by the children, a ma'akiv boy is not ma'akiv by him either. And therefore, the other times that he has to wash his hands and feet on Yom Kippur, they are not ma'akiv by the Kohen Gadol. Then the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yonis, my time alomer medecheskia. Rabbi Yonis, who learned it out from the Pasuk, v'rochatzim b'men Moshe v'an v'bonov, why didn't he want to learn it out from the same Pasuk that Cheskia did, where it says, v'hoi shalohem, chok oilem loy lozar, oh, Malachi will answer you. Ahula doiris, it exceeds, that Pasuk is written for all later generations. That Pasuk only tells us that this din, that you must wash your hands and feet, and otherwise, the Avodah is Pasul, is also the doiris. It's not only said for that time of Moshe, but it's said for all generations, as the Pasuk says, the doiriso. So it doesn't come to tell us this hekesh, that we should compare Zaroi to him. But it comes to tell us, Bechlal, that this din applies to all children of Koyanim for all generations. So we can't use that to teach us that only that is ma'akeh by the children are ma'akeh by him. And if not ma'akeh by the children, not ma'akeh by him, because the Pasuk is used to tell us this din itself, that it goes on for all generations. Why doesn't the other one? Which means, why doesn't Cheskia learn out from the Pasuk of Rabbi Yonasan, from the Pasuk of Aruch HaTzim and Moshe V'an Lubonov? So he says, he needs the Pasuk to teach us a different din, the din that Rabbi Yosef Aruch HaVanina taught. Rabbi Yosef says, at any kiyot, which was the kele where they kept the water from where they washed their hands and feet, if it is not big enough that four koyanin could be mekadesh their hands and feet, ain mekadesh menu, you can't be mekadesh from it. It is possible to be mekadesh. It has to hold enough water to be mekadesh for koyanin. But where do we know that? Shenema, because the pasuk says, that Moshe and Aaron and his children should wash from it. How many were there? So Moshe and Aaron are two, his children are two, because only two children were left later on to do the Avodah. But Nadav Avihu died later. So B'meila, we don't count Nadav Avihu, so we only count Elozav Yisomor. So it's two more, but together it's four. And the reason we count Moshe, even though Moshe was not a Kohen, Moshe was a Levi, but this pasuk is written concerning the Shiva Simei Amaluyim, the 7 days of dedication before they put up the Mishkan permanently. And at that time, Moshe was a Kohen. Aaron and his children, they were like the Bailim, they were the owners of the Korban, and Moshe was the Kohen. So therefore, we count Moshe also. So therefore, we learn out from here that you have to have four. But since this pasuk is used to teach us that we have to have four Kohenim, so you can't use this pasuk to teach us that only what is ma'akeh by the children is ma'akeh by him, and what is not ma'akeh by the children, not ma'akeh by him, because this pasuk is used for this, as we said now, to use to teach us how much water the kiyur must have. So therefore, he learns it out from the other pasuk where it says, "V'hoi solahem kok oilam lo yiluzan aliray." Then the Gemara continues, "Toner Rabbanu and Rabbanu learned heitzad mitzvah kiddush. How do they perform this mitzvah of washing your hands and feet? Meiniach yada ha'imonis al gaberag la'imonis. He would put his right hand on his right foot. the yodai hasmolis al gabe ragloi hasmolis, and his left hand on his left foot. Umekadesh, and that's how he would wash it. Yosi b'Rabbi Yehudoi, and Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehudoi says, meniach shtei yodov zu al gabe zu. He would put two hands, one on top of the other, al gabe shtei raglov zu al gabe zu, and he would put them on top of his feet when they were one on top of the other. Umekadesh, and that's how he would wash it. Amruloi, they said to him, he plakto, you went too far. You can't do that. It's impossible to do that and not fall. So how can you say that's how they were supposed to do it? And the Gemara asks, Shapir Kamerli, didn't they say good to him? Wasn't the question a good question? What did he answer? How could he think that this is the way they did it when it's impossible to stand that way and not fall? Rabbi Yosef said, his friend had to help him. Certainly you couldn't do it by yourself. You had to have somebody hold you up. What is the difference between the two? In other words, what is the reason for their argument? Why do the others hold that you can do that, and he holds you could? Rabbi said, Amidim in atzadik ibanayu. Standing from the side is the machloikis. In other words, if you have to stand in such a way that someone else must help you, is that considered standing? We know that you have to stand when you wash your hands and feet. So the Chachamim holds that since the only way you could do it is if someone helps you, it's not considered that you're standing. But Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is still considered standing. What is the problem? Why can't he sit down and Mekadesh while he's sitting? And the Gemara answers, because the Pasuk says L'shores. The Pasuk says that when should they wash their hands? Or when they get close to the Mizbeach to serve. So the Pasuk speaks about Kiddush and mentions Begishtam Elam Mizbeach L'shores. So we compare the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the washing of the hands and the feet, to the Sheirus. To the serving. The Sheirus movement of serving in the Beit HaMikdash is only standing. So from here we know that when you Mekadesh your hands and feet, you have to stand. And the only way you're able to do it the way he said was if a Kohen helps you. So he holds that if someone else helps you, it's still considered standing, even though you're leaning on somebody. But the Chachamim hold it's not considered standing, and therefore you couldn't do it that way. Then the Gemara continues, the Rabbana learned, Kiddush yodav v'raglav b'yoyim, if he was Mekadesh his hands and feet during the day, ein tzorich l'kadesh v'layla. He doesn't have to do it again at night. Even if he continues to do the avodah at night, as long as he didn't go out, and he wasn't masiach daf, he didn't take his mind away from it, he doesn't have to rewash his hands and feet. But if he's washed his hands and feet at night, he still has to do it again in the morning, when he finishes the night's work, and he's getting ready to do the avodah in the morning, after Amud HaShachar, he must wash his hands again, because this is considered lina. We know that lina poisel is the kiddush. That if you stay overnight, then your hands are possible and you have to wash them over again. Now, it doesn't mean after sleeping. It means as long as the night passes. So when it gets the morning, when it gets to Amud HaShachar, you must wash your hands again. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe holds. Shehoyo Rebbe Oime, because Rebbe used to say, Lina Mo'eles B'Kidu Shadayim V'Raglayim. That Lina, staying overnight, has an effect concerning your washing of your hands and the feet. And therefore, in the morning, you must do it over again, even if you weren't Masiyach Das and you didn't leave the Beis HaMikdash all night. The philosopher of Shimon, but the philosopher of Shimon says, Ein lina me'elah b'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. That lina staying overnight doesn't have an effect on the washing of the hands and the feet, and therefore in the morning you would not have to wash your hands and the feet again if you were not masiyach das from it from the day before. Tanya idoch, we learn another braise, ha'ya'oyim medu makriv al abba mizbeach al alayla, if he was standing and he was makriv al mizbeach all night, la'oyra, when it gets morning, Tone kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. He must wash his hands and feet again. Divrei Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. The blows of Reb Shimon Noemi, but the blows of Reb Shimon says, kid nisha kiddush yadayim v'raglayim mitchilas avoyde. Soon as he washed his hands and feet in the beginning when he started doing the avoyde, and from then on he wasn't masiyach das. He didn't take his mind away from it. So afilu mikan v'adasar yomim, even if he continues from now for 10 days, ein etzorech l'kadosh. He doesn't have to wash his hands and feet again. So this is another braise which seems to be saying the same machloikis as the previous braise. And the Gemara says, Vitzriche, we have to have both braise. The Iyashmin and Kamaise, if we would just have the first braise where it says, that Rebbe holds, if you washed your hands and feet at night, you don't have to do it again in the morning, while the beloved Reb Shimon says, Ein lino me'elet b'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, that you don't have to do it. And since in that braise it doesn't mention that he was doing the avodah all night, like it says in the second braise, it doesn't say that. Is mashmir, the first braise is speaking in a case where he did not continue doing the avodah all night. So I would think that Bahi Kama Rebbe, that in that braise Rebbe holds, that you have to wash your hands and feet again in the morning. The Pasuk lay avoid la avoid, because he interrupted between one avoid and the other. The only reason why we think he don't have to wash is because he wasn't Masiyah Daf. He didn't take his mind away. But nevertheless, he did not continue doing the Avodah. So we would think in a case like that where he did not continue doing the Avodah, you have to wash. Aval Baha, but in the case of the second Braita, where it says clearly, Hoya Oimedu Makhiv Akaba Mizbeach Ol Laila, that he stood and he was Makhiv on Mizbeach Ol Night, the Loi Postik later, he didn't stop doing the Avodah. Eimim Moide Loi Rebbe Le Rebbe Lozabed of Shimon. I would think maybe Rebbe admits to Rebbe Lozabed of Shimon, that he doesn't have to wash his hands and feet again. So that's why we have to have the second Braita. The Iyashmin and Behor, if we would just have known the second Braisa, I would think Behor Kamer Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, in the second Braisa, in the case where he did the Avodah all night, that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon holds that he does not have to wash his hands and feet over again. Ava Behor, but in the case of the first Braisa, where he stopped in the middle and did not continue doing the Avodah, and I would think Moide Leila Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon admits the Rebbe, that he does have to wash again his hands and his feet, Tricha, that's why we have to have the first Braisa also. But that's why we have to have both of these Braisa. Then the Gemara asks, my time at the Rebbe, what is the reason of Rebbe? Why does Rebbe hold that you do have to wash over again? And the Gemara answers, because the Pasuk says, Begishta, that you have to wash your hands when you get close to the Mizbeach. And in the morning, when you start getting close to the Mizbeach, it's a new getting close, because there is a new Marocha, and you start with a new Avodah, so it's a new Begishta. So therefore, you have to wash over again, because the Pasuk says, every time, Begishta, you have to wash. I time the Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. What is the reason of Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon? And he says, because the Pasuk says, Bevoyam, when you come in, which means every time you come in to do the Avodah, you have to wash. But if you came in before and you washed, and you stayed there the whole time, you don't have to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again. But then the Gemara asks, V'idoch Nama Haksi Bevoyam. But Rebbe, how can he say that you have to wash every time because of the Gishtam, but doesn't the Pasuk also say Bevoyam? That only when you come in you have to wash, but if you're inside already, you don't have to wash again. Because if you're not going to say that, then the question is, why does the Pasuk have to say Bevayim? Obviously, the Pasuk is coming to tell us that only when you come in, you have to wash. So he says, no. The reason it says Bevayim is for a different thing. Iksi Begishtam. Allah Iksi Bevayim, the Torah would have just written Begishtam when you get close. And wouldn't have written the word Bevayim when you come in. I would have said, I'll call Gisha Begisha, that every time you get close to the Mizbeach, you have to wash, even if it's in the same day. That's why Kosav Rahman Bevayim, the Torah adds the word Bevoyim when you come in, to teach us that only in the morning, once when you get close, you have to do it, when you come in the beginning, but later on you don't have to do it. But then the Gemara asks, V'idoch, Rosa Bereb Shimon, Amar Haksi Begishtam, doesn't it say Begishtam? How can you say that you only wash once when you come in, but then you don't have to wash even if it's the next day, but doesn't the Pasuk say Begishtam when you get close, and every day it's a new getting close, because it's a new Marocha, it's a new Avoide and the Mizbeach. And obviously, this is the reason why the Torah says Begishtam, to teach us that every day you should have to wash again. Because otherwise, what does the Torah have to write the word Begishtam for? And the answer is for a different reason. Iksi Bevoyim v'loiksi Begishtam. The Torah would have just written Bevoyim. And not Begishtam. Hava amina, I would think, afilo abiyari koni. And even if you just come in without doing an avoida, an empty coming in, without doing the avoida, you also have to wash your hands and feet. That's why the Torah has to write Begishtam, that only if you are getting close to the Mizbeach to do the Avodah, you have to wash your hands and feet. But the Gemara asks, to teach us that, you don't need the Pasuk Begishtam. To teach us that for coming in empty, not for the Avodah, you don't have to wash your hands. We learned that out from the Pasuk L'Shores. It says when you come in, L'Shores is to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. So we know that if it's not to serve, you don't have to wash. So for that, we don't need the word Begishtam. Elo Begishtam, look at the Rav Yankis. The Gemara says, what does he need the word Begishtam for? To teach us what Rav Achavah Yankis said. Oh, my Rav Achavah Yankis, because Rav Achavah Yankis said, Hakum Moidim, Bikidu Sheini, Kishahu Lovush Mekatz. And this refers to the Machloikas between the Meira and the Rabbanan. Because we know the Deen, that every time the Kohen Gadol changed his clothes, from Big Delovan to Big Dezov, from Big Dezov to Big Delovan, he had to go to the Mikveh. And this going to the Mikveh had to come after a Kidu Shadayim Raglayim, and before a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And there's a machloikis between the Meir and the Rabbanon concerning the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. The Rabbanon holds that first he would wash his hands and feet, and then he would get undressed and go to the mikveh. And the Meir says that first he would get undressed, then wash his hands and feet, and then he would go to the mikveh. So it says there that the machloikis is only concerning the first Kiddush, the one that he was supposed to do before he would go to the mikveh. But concerning the second Kiddush, after he would go to the mikveh, so even the mayor agrees, Kishu Lovish Mekadesh, that he was Mekadesh, his hands and feet, after he already got dressed. And the reason is, the Omakra, because the Pasuk says, Oy Begishta, that you wash your hands before you get close to the Mizbeach.
So we learn out from here, mi she'ena mechuse el gisha buvat, that when does the kiddush help only if what's missing is only gisha, that the only thing that's going to be done after you wash your hands and feet will be getting close to the mizbeach and doing davoide. Yotzozeh, this comes to exclude this one, she'mechuse levisha v'gisha. What he's missing is getting dressed and going close to the mizbeach. And if we will say that first he washes his hands and feet after the mikveh, and then he gets dressed, that means that between the washing of the hands and the feet and doing the avodah, he still has to do something else. He has to get dressed. And the pasuk says, b'gishtam, that the only thing that should be done after kiddush yadayim v'raglayim would be getting close to the mizbeach, but nothing else, not getting dressed. So therefore, concerning the first one that he did before the mikveh, there he holds that he would get undressed, and then he would wash his hands and feet. And it doesn't matter that in middle he would have to do other things, because this is the avodah. In here you can't say that he must wash his hands and feet and then directly go to the mizbeach, because the whole idea of washing his hands and feet is before the mikveh. That's why he says he washes his hands and feet and goes to the mikveh. But the second one, since that is a preparation to getting close to the mizbeach, the pasuk says that it's only good if the next thing after the kiddush is getting close to the mizbeach and nothing else in between. And therefore, if he would have to get dressed in between, then it would be not the gishtam, but it would be mechusa levisha the gishtam. And this is what the Blazer Rav Shimon uses this pasuk begishtam for. And he uses the pasuk bevoyim, as we said before, to teach us that only when you enter, that's when you have to wash. But if you're inside and you didn't go out, even if you're there for 10 days and you were not nasi'er das, you don't have to wash your hands over again. Then the Gemara continues, lahak terisha lomali. In the Sukkim concerning the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, the pasuk says that when should they wash their hands, as we said before, bevoyim al oil moyad yirchasumayim v'lo yamusu, oy v'gishtam al ha-mizbeach l'shoreis lahak terisha l'ashem. Or when they get close to the mizbeach, to serve, to be machtir, a korban to Hashem. So the question is, why does the pasuk have to add the words lahak terisha l'ashem? Since it says already that when they will get close to the mizbeach to serve, so we understand it is to bring a korban to Hashem. So why does the pasuk have to say lahak terisha? And the Gemara answers now the same. I would think if it wouldn't be that pasuk, I would say hanemile avoided the makve kapora. But when do they have to wash their hands in the morning? Only concerning an avoider which holds back the kapora. And if you don't do that avoider, you don't get the kapora. For instance, concerning the blood, all the avoiders of the blood, or the kmita, concerning the korban mincha. Aval avoided the loy makve kapora, but concerning an avoider which would not hold back the kapora. An avoider that if you wouldn't do it, you would still have the kapora. For instance, when you are makted the emirin on the mizbeach, when you bring the fats on the mizbeach, now that, if you didn't do the korban, is still a good korban. So I would think that since this is an avoida which is not makted the kapora loy, you don't have to wash your hands before, because the posik only says the gishtem on the mizbeach v'sharet, when you get close to the mizbeach to do the shayrus, to do an avoida. So we would think it's only an avoida which is makted kapora. Kamash malon, that's what the posik says. At any type of achtara, any type of avodah they do, you have to wash your hands before them. Concerning what we learned earlier in the Gemara, where the Gemara explained it, how do we know that the mechusa kippurim, if he did the avodah, it is possible. But the Gemara said, because the pasuk says v'chiper aleh hakoyin v'tahera, so we learn now tahera mechlal sheitmeya, that the pasuk said that after she brings the kapora, this is a yeldis, who's one of those mechusa kapora that have to bring a korban after they finish with their tumah. So the pasuk says then the koyam will be mechaper for her, and she will become clean. Is that ayah, that mechlal shehit meya, that till she brought the kapora, she is still tamei. And since she is still tamei, the mele, the koyan who is mechusa kippurim is tamei, and therefore is not allowed to do the avodah. Now we see that the Rambam, he brings this drash of the Gemara in two places, and he changes the lashon from the way it says in the Gemara. Brings it once in Hilchas Diyas Migdash Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet and Hay, and another time he brings it in Hilchas Diyas Migdash Perek Gimel, Halacha Zayin. And in both places he says the drash is betoira mechlal she'adayin loy nigmera or legomra taharosam. That since it says she becomes toir after she brings the kapara, is arayah, that till then her tara is not complete. The lashon in the Gemara is mechlal she'itmeya, is arayah that she is tamei up till the kapara. While the Rambam doesn't say that lashon, but the Rambam says arayah that till then her tara is not complete. So from the lashon of the Rambam is mashma, the Rambam learns that the pshati mechusa kapora is not as it is mashma stam from the lashon Gemara, that a mechusa kapora is tamei, but a mechusa kapora didn't complete the tara, because there are two ways to learn the deen of mechusa kapora. One way we can learn mechusa kapora is that he is still tamei, which means that even though toval he went to the mikveh and harif shimshay the sun set, and therefore he became toel agav a certain inyanim. For instance, he's allowed to eat truma even, that shows that he became Torah. Nevertheless, concerning Kodesh Umigdosh, the tumor that he had before still remains. And that is the reason why he's not allowed to enter into the Kodesh, into the Migdosh, he's not allowed to eat Kodesh, etc. It is because the tumor that he had before is still on him concerning the union of Migdosh and Kodesh. But there's another way to learn that it's not because there is the union of tumah on him, but there is a chasod in the tare. There is no tumah on him, but his tare is not complete. Since his tare is not complete, that happens only through the korban, and therefore he is not allowed to enter the Beit HaMikdash and eat kachin. So from the Rambam's lashon, what the Rambam says that the tohedra mechlal shadayin le nigmara or le gomra tarosa, that means that the Rambam learns that it is not because he is still tumah, but it is because his tare is not finished. As the Rambam says the Seirish in the beginning of Hilchas Mechusa Kapora, he says like this, V'loma nikru Mechusa Kapora, why are they called Mechusa Kapora? Shekol echad mehem, because every one of these Mechusa Kapora, af api shetohe mutumosei, Rambam says, he became tohe from his tumen. The Toval, he went to the mikveh v'had if shim shit is sunset. Adayin hu chosa, he's still missing. V'loi gomra ta'arosei, his tare is not complete, kudei lechol b'kotchim, so he should be able to eat kotchim, at sheyavi karbonei, till he brings his korban. The kodim sheyavi karbonei, osaru lechol b'kotchim. Before he brings his kapara, he can't eat kachin. So it's even the Rambam clear that the Isa is not because he is still tamei, but because he is missing in his tare. And as you can see also, in the title that the Rambam gives, in the beginning of Hilchas Mechusa Kapara, before the halachas yet, when he writes for the mitzvahs are, he says that the mitzvah is to bring the korban, kishetite, when you become toher, v'acha sheyakriv korban, and say, tigomer taharosan. After they bring the korbanas, their tare is finished. That shows that the Rambam learns that the problem of a Mechusa Kapora is not that he is tameh, but that his tare is not finished. And as we also see, that the Gemara, in Nozir Daf Memhei Omed Aleph and in Makas of Ches Omed Beis, learns out this din, that you're not allowed to enter the Mikdash if you are Mechusa Kapora from the Pasig, Oid to Mosai Bay. It comes to be Marbe, Mechusa Kapora. But the Rambam, the one we mentioned before in Hilchas Bias Mikdash, Peter Gimel Alocha Zayin, he brings a different Pasig. From this Pasig, the Tohera Mechlau Shadayin Legamata Arosa. So we see that the Gemara says the Pasik, Oy Tumosai Bay, that he's still Tomei. But the Rambam wants to stress that the Pshat is not that really he is still Tomei, but that he didn't become completely Toya yet, there's missing in his Tara, so therefore the Rambam quotes this Pasik, Tahira Mechlal Shadayin Lagamataros. And Be'emes, it is not just a difference in how we express it, whether he is still Tomei or the Tara is not finished, it's also Nafkamin al Halacha. Because we see there is a machloikis between the Rambam and the Raivit. The Rambam learns that the Mechusa Kippurim Sha'ocha Kodesh Oy Shimesh is not Chayef Kodesh. That if the Mechusa Kippurim did the Avoided, or he ate Kodeshim, is not Chayef Kodesh. Even though there is an Isur, but he is not Chayef Kodesh. But the Ravid holds that the Mechusa Kippurim is Chayef Kodesh. As the Ravid is Masik on the Rambam in Hilchas Bias Migdash Perik Dalet, and he says that we say, Oy Tomosai Boy, the Rabbis Mechusa Kippurim, that shows that the Mechusa Kippurim is still Tomei. And then he also brings the Pasik Kitahero, that says by Yeldis, Mechlaud Ad Hashta Tmeyehi. And he also brings the Gemara in Zvachim that we had earlier, and that Yizayin Amid Beis, that Mechusa Kippurim dissolved Kizov Dami, and he brings the Tefesta where it says that Mechusa Kippurim is one of those that are Chayiv Mise, but he holds that you are Chayiv Mise for doing the Avoida while you are Mechusa Kippurim. But the Rambam holds that you are not Chayiv Mise if you do the Avoida as a Mechusa Kippurim. Now the Pashtas, the way the Mefarshim explain, the reason is because there's a machloikas between the Rambam and the Ravid whether we hold Mechusa Kippurim dissolved Kizov Dami or not Kizov Dami. As we learned earlier, that if we hold that Mechusa Kippurim dissolved Kizov Dami, then he is Chayiv Koret. If you hold Lav Kizov Domi, he is not Chayiv Koret. At least according to Rashi's Pshat, in Mechuzik Kippurim Dezov, Kizov Domi, or Lav Kizov Domi. So that's the Pashtas, the Machloikis, between the Rambam and the Ravid. But based on what we said before, the Machloikis is also totally, also depends on this Inyan. The Rambam learns that the Mechuzik Kippurim is not the Pshat that he is Domi. The Pshat is only that he is still missing in the Tare. While the Ravid learns that the Mechuzik Kippurim is still Domi. And therefore the Ravid, who said it's still Domi, holds that you are Chayiv Koret for it. But the Rambam holds that he is not Tomei, just like Nigmar Tarotei. Therefore, he says that a Mechusa Kippurim is not Chayef Kodesh. This is the way the Lubavitch Rebbe Shlita explains the Machloikas of the Rambam and the Ravid in the Sefer Lekuta Siches, Krach Chov Zayin in Volume 27 of Parashas Azriya. And there he even adds that according to Rashi, there is a third way we learn what Mechusa Kippurim is. And he goes into a long arichas to explain the Shita of Rashi. And this is the Rashi. And this Pasuk of Sinning Yild is what Rashi says at Tahero, Michlau Sha'atkan Hikru Yatmeyot. That is because till then she is called Tmeya. So we see Rashi doesn't use the Lashon of the Gemara. Mechlau Shehi Tmeya, that till then she is Tmeya. Doesn't use the Lashon of the Rambam where he says that Mechlau Araya, that till then the Tara is not complete. The Lashon that Rashi uses is Mechlau Sha'atkan Ikruya Tmeya, till then she is called Tmeya. And he learns that Rashi learns a combination between both Shittas. That
on one hand, she is not tomei, and mechutz kippurim is not tomei. On the other hand, it is also not the pshat, that just that the tare is not finished, but that she is kruyat meya, she is called meya. She's not really tomei, but she still has the title of tomei. As he explains by Ariches, Rayas, and the explanation in Shittas Rashi. And this is in Lekutas Sichas, Chelik of Zayin, Pashas Azriah.